Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 12 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. On this edition, we're going to be speaking to UK-based author Jen Silver, and you'll hear the chat we had very, very shortly. But before we get to that, I'm going to take a look at what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as filling you in what's going on in the world of lesfic and the world of me. First up, the Amazon charts. Now, the charts change every month. Last month, we had a glut of medical dramas, and I was worrying that I didn't have any doctors or nurses in any of my books. But it's okay, because this month they've all been replaced with a whole new crop of titles with no discernible theme, so I think I'm going to be all right. Doing well in both the US and the UK, our former podcast guest, Eliza Lenski, with her new novel, Bittersweet Homecoming. She is a perennial favourite, Eliza, and you can hear her interview in episode 8 of the podcast. Also flying high is K.L. Hughes with her novel, Popcorn Love, and Lydia Rose, whose new book is called The Movie Star. So a bit of a movie theme going on there. J.A. Armstrong's By Design series is also still doing really well in both the UK and the US. Very popular, that series. And in the US, Ali Spooner has a new one out with a rather fetching image of a biker chick on a hot Harley on it. It's called The Settlement, and I can't see anything wrong with that. It's a great cover, actually. Go and check it out. So in publishing news, well, we had the shock revelation recently from sort of general publishing that if you price books too high, readers won't buy them. That's very much a tongue-in-cheek thing there, because, you know, that's basic economics 101, you know, sort of Penguin, Random House, Miller, all the big five publishers. They've all started charging $9.99 for an ebook, and to me, that's just too much. But I do think it's an interesting topic for debate where it comes to lesfic. I'm an indie author, and we tend to price our books lower than the traditional lesfic publishing houses. But both indies and traditional publishing houses all sell well in the world of lesbian fiction. Which leads me to the conclusion that price isn't a huge issue to readers. They just want to read what they like, and so long as it's not crazily priced, they'll go for it. Like I say, for me, an ebook priced at £9.99, that's like $15, that's too much. I'd think twice about paying that, but £5.99, probably my limit. Let me know what you think. You can tweet me or at Claire Lydon or email me, ClaireLydon@gmail.com. It's an interesting debate. As for me, well, the last month I've been going through the first draft of my new book, due out for Christmas, and redoing that. I've also got the cover underway with my fab friend who does my covers for me, and I've booked my editor, so it's all systems go. And with luck, that book should be with you sometime in November. And while you're listening to this, I will be in my bathing suit, sunbathing by my friend's pool in Spain, which I cannot wait for, as it's been a pretty bloody chilly in London of late. Although the sun is shining, I'm due to fly today, and the sun is shining in London town. But my friend's villa in Almeria in Spain, in southeast Spain, I've been there quite a few times, and I've always got really good writing done there. I actually finished, wrote the last 10,000 words of This London Love in that villa. So I'll be taking my laptop along and see what flows. I may write a short story, I may crack on with book 5. But, you know, equally, I might just top up my tan, because we all need a break every now and again, don't we? And I do like lying in the sun and catching up on my reading. I'm looking forward to that. I've got a Kindle filled with lesfic, so I'm good to go on that one. Also, I'd love to hear from you and what you think of the show. the podcast is getting more listeners, so I'd love to hear what you think. Is there an author who you'd like to be interviewed? Let me know. I'd also love to know what you're doing when you listen to the show, because I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I listen while I'm at the gym, I listen while I'm walking, I listen while I'm cleaning. So what are you doing while you're listening to the show? Tweet me, at Claire Lydon, and let me know. Send me a picture of what you're doing, if you like. Yeah, just let me know, and include a picture, and I might give a prize out to the quirkiest response. We'll see what kind of response we get. Okay, now it's time for the interview with Jen Silver. So joining me today on the Lesbian Book Club is lesbian fiction author Jen Silver, who is a fellow Brit and has published two books in the last year, Starting Over and Arc Over Time. Jen is currently working on her third book, The Circle Dance, which is due for publication early next year. And when she's not writing, Jen can be found on a golf course or aiming a bow at a target. So welcome, Jen.
Thank you, Claire. Talk to you.
Yeah, very, very lovely to talk to you too. So, how are you today? What have you been up to?
Had a fairly relaxing day. Apart from this morning, I do a boxing class on Monday mornings.
Okay.
Which is great fun. It's fitness for over 50s.
Yeah.
So we have good fun, but she makes us work hard.
Yeah, I used to do a boxing class, and I had to stop it because I had all these funny pains in my arms, but it gets all frustrations out, doesn't it?
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we love hitting the bags.
Yeah. Do you spar with other people as well?
No, it's just for fitness mainly, so I get a chance to punch the bags.
Right, okay.
And not each other.
And are you happy with that intro? Is there anything else you'd like to add? Oh, good. So I know you live in a very picturesque part of the UK. Do you want to paint a picture of where you're speaking from today?
Right, well, I live in the Calder Valley, which is on the edge of the Pennines.
Mm-hmm.
People don't know where that is. It's this mountainous ridge of hills and moorland that stretches through the middle of the country,
mm-hmm.
from Derbyshire to the Scottish border. I looked that up on Wikipedia, by the way.
prepared, I like it.
Yeah, from my windows I can see the hills rising up, and there's fields with sheep grazing in them.
Yeah.
I do live near a fairly busy road, but at one time there was only this pack horse trail that went through this area to go from one valley to the next, and now in addition to the river we have a canal and mm-hmm. a railway and a road, so
right.
It's quite a busy area but very picturesque at the same time.
Yeah. And the area also obviously features a lot in your writing. So do you want to tell me a bit about your writing journey and how you got started, seeing as you're quite new to this, like me?
Yeah, well, I've always written stories for my own amusement, starting from when I was very young. I was fortunate to live in a household where there were lots of books.
Mm-hmm.
Over the years, I've built up quite a collection of unfinished novels and short stories and journals and so on. So then I thought, well, I think it comes on to your next question probably. A few years ago when I retired, I thought I might give it a go to see if I could get published.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And was that successful straight away?
More or less. I had this one partly finished novel which I had in a drawer. Got it out, and I'd actually stopped mid-sentence. It was one I started when I lived in London, and we've lived up here for 20 years.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, maybe I could finish this, because when I retyped it, because by then I'd gone through several different kinds of computers, so I just had a printout.
Yeah.
And so I found that I had 40,000 words, and I thought, okay, another 20,000 or so, and I could send this off. And I picked on Affinity, lucky them. Anyway, they were very good at getting back to me and said, well, yeah, we sort of like it. It's quite good writing. We like your writing style. But we're not too sure about the story.
Right.
So they rejected that one. But I had actually started writing Starting Over. Just happened to be called that.
Yeah.
And was able to finish that and send it off to them.
So
they accepted sort of more or less right away. So.
Right.
Do you think that you'll revisit the one that you pulled out of your drawer and they said no to? Do you think you might rework it at some point? Or?
Yeah, I mean, they had suggested if I did still want to use the sort of basic idea and the characters, it would need to be basically rewritten from scratch,
yeah.
Which I wasn't happy about doing at the time. But I am now actually working on a story which takes it on from about 15 years from when I left it, so brings it up to date, if you like.
Okay, yeah. Because I'm thinking as well, you know, because you write things in the moment, don't you? So then if you're coming back to something that many years on, it must be quite odd to come back to it. And
Yeah.
Yeah. You're probably like, did I write this? Yeah. And what were you doing? Because I know you said you retired a few years ago. What were you doing before retirement?
Well, the last 10 years before I retired, I was working in local high school.
Right.
And I was in charge of their virtual learning environment,
mm-hmm.
their website. So
right.
I was more of a technical person behind the scenes, but I was very fortunate to be based in the library. And so I would help out at lunchtimes and got to know some of the kids and find out what they were reading.
Right.
So that's always interesting.
Yeah, perfect sort of thing for a writer.
Yeah, no, it was good fun.
Yeah. So let's talk a bit about your books. So your first, Starting Over, that's a romance with a healthy dose of humour and farce thrown in. So how long did it take you to write and how did it come about?
Well, it took about 6 months. I had a bit of a break while I worked on that story that Affinity rejected eventually.
Yeah.
But then it was early on in 2013, just before I retired, I'd resubscribed to Diva magazine. And I suppose it was about 10 years since I last looked at one. And anyway, one of the first articles I saw was about these two women musicians who lived on a farm not far from here. And their story was quite interesting. And it started me thinking about, you know, the problems two women who have had a long-term relationship might have.
Yeah.
And I suppose I might also have been influenced by first season of Last Tango in Halifax, which I think was on at that time,
mm-hmm.
and featured a farm very much like the one I've described in the book, actually.
Right. Oh yeah, I hadn't linked those two together, but yeah, now you say it.
Imagine, don't you?
That's a great TV show, isn't it?
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Yeah.
I believe they're just filming another series. We've had some film crews around here recently.
Oh right, is that film quite near you then?
Oh yes, Halifax is just up the road, about 6 or 7 miles.
Right.
And they film quite a bit of it in this area.
Right. Yeah. I guess that makes sense. But yeah, so only 6 months to write that's pretty quick. And one of your characters is an archaeologist, and an archaeological digs are quite a key element of the story. And you went on a dig. Which is like above and beyond the call of duty. That's research, hardcore research. Well done. So, did you enjoy that? And is it something you're going to repeat again?
Well, my wife certainly thinks that it's research in the extreme to to go on a 2-week dig in Northumberland.
I agree with that, but you know.
Anyway, it was an amazing experience, and I feel in some way I've missed my way because I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I guess archaeology possibly wasn't on the list of suitable professions for anyone, let alone women, when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met some great people from all over, not just the UK, but Australia, the States, Europe.
Uh-huh.
And I enjoyed it so much, I volunteered again this year. And so I've been on two of these 2-week digs up at Vindolanda, which is a large Roman excavation site. And so it's great fun.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you have gone back and done it again. And yeah. two weeks at a time, so it's quite a commitment as well.
Yeah. Luckily we only work Monday to Friday. We got the weekend off.
Right.
But and the day worked out quite well. We have, you know, being in Britain, we have tea breaks and
yeah.
Lunch break.
lots of biscuits and things, yeah.
Biscuits, oh yeah.
So, but I mean, you can really tell, you know, because your descriptions of the digs and everything are, you know, they seem very realistic. So I think you can really tell that you've done it yourself. And your writing style, I think, is very fast paced, and your books are real page turners. So is that something that comes naturally, or is that a style that you worked on?
Naturally, I'm not a fan of long-winded descriptions when I'm reading, so I guess that comes out in my writing. So yes, I like to keep it short.
Yeah,
I'm impatient.
But yeah, it's kind of breakneck speed. Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And your dialogue as well is. Yeah, really, really snappy, and your characterization skills really, really good too. So the characters in the first two books, did they come quite easily? I know you said the first two came from the Diva magazine. What about all the others?
Right, well, when I was deciding, when we decided that I should retire, I had to give my notice in at, I think it was the second half of the summer term, so I had 7 weeks before I left.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take me very long to clear up what I needed to clear up, files and so on. So I had a lot of time to do a bit of research on things. You know, having decided that Ellie was going to be a potter, I could look up pottery and so on.
Yeah.
And then the other characters, I had Ellie and Robin pretty much from the start. The other characters just sort of appeared. They came up the drive.
Yeah.
Oh, who are you? Okay. So yeah, that first chapter, it was quite amazing. All these people turned up at the farm, and then I had to decide what to do with them.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. That's a nice problem to have, isn't it? When they all just, you know, stroll up the drive.
Yeah.
And one thing about all your characters share is an obsession with sex. So is there something in the water that we need to know about in Yorkshire?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You wouldn't think so, would you? People just think it's so flat cap and ferrets or something. But, you know, no, seriously. Again, that's just something that came into the story. And
yeah.
Appropriate.
No, it really, I mean, you know, you've got there's a real humour and running through your books, I really enjoyed. And both your books centre on the love lives of women in their 40s and 50s, so it's not typical romance territory, you know, of 20-somethings. And I think that's fabulous. And was that important to you to represent that age group when you were writing?
Yes, well, I think obviously it's closer to my age. 20 was quite a long time ago for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I just wanted to portray that getting old can be fun. You know, it's life beyond the menopause. And no more periods, yay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
So, you know, embrace the inner crone, grow old disgracefully. These are great mottos to live by, I think.
I think so. I think we can all learn something from you, Jen. And also move to Yorkshire, because there's clearly something in the water. So.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. I did actually used to live in Yorkshire, but I was only sort of about 8 years old then, so not applicable. And being it was your first book, what did you do on the day it was released, the first one?
Well, I shared a bottle of champagne with my wife, which was great, and my mother had a large bouquet of flowers delivered to the house, which was lovely.
Oh, that's nice.
Some pictures and just enjoyed the feeling of being a published author, which was great.
Yeah, and they say your first novel is your most autobiographical, so how true was that for you?
Right, well, you've read these books, right, Claire?
I have.
I'm interested to know which part you think might be.
Well, I'm asking you.
No, it's all fiction. Well, I mean, that said, there's obviously elements of my own and other people's lives that filter through in the writing, but as I say, some of my experiences, like working in high school and in the dig and so on, I did go to Huddersfield University for a part-time course, so I'm familiar with the campus.
Right.
So yeah, I mean,
yeah.
the story, the romance part is fiction.
Yeah. And And you released, as I say, you released the book Starting Over and then Arc Over Time sort of a few months later. So was a follow-on always your intention, or was that something that sort of happened, you know, you thought, oh, hang on, there's more story here?
No, it wasn't my intention when I was writing Starting Over. I just thought that would be a standalone book, and obviously I didn't know it would be published at all. But once it was being published, during last summer, I was thinking about what I would write next, because I said, well, I'm going to keep writing. So it just seemed to me that yes, there was something more there. So I started to think about it, and this is the story that emerged. So that's what happened.
Yeah, right. And I really enjoyed Arc Over Time as well. I mean, that, again, really fast-paced, zips all over the UK, so I guess that's sort of drawing on your time living in London as well, because there's quite a bit of London in that, isn't there? And also even a bit of a fetish club thing going on. So was that any personal research again?
Well, the short answer is no. I do read a lot.
Yeah.
I did once visit the shop.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago when I lived in London.
Yeah.
And then I have this story about last year when I was visiting my mother in Vancouver, and we met up. And the first morning after I got over my jet lag, she said, well, what are you planning on doing? And I thought she probably had plans of her own, so I said, well, I'm going to go to the Little Sisters bookshop. And she said, oh, I'd like to come with you. And I explained to her it was gay and lesbian bookshop, so she still wanted to come along. So off we went. And when we got there, I headed straight for the book section and was browsing away. And she disappeared. And 10 or 15 minutes later, she came back, and I was still browsing the shelves. And she said, she was looking a little flushed. She said, I don't think you should go over there, dear. And I guess I hadn't realized that only a quarter section of the shop was devoted to books. The rest was more along the lines of a sex toy emporium.
Oh, right.
She had spent quite a lot of time there. She probably goes back there regularly.
Yeah. She's a regular customer at Little Sisters now. That's funny. Being in a sex shop with your mum, it's not everybody's ideal day out, is it really?
No.
No. Yeah, I can imagine. And your books, as I say, sort of shot through with British humour and colloquialisms. And is this something you've had any feedback on from non-Brits? Because sometimes people are like, oh, you know, you shouldn't leave the flavour of too much Britishness in the books.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that's being discussed quite a bit now, I think. Two of my American friends read the books and said that there were some words that caught them out, but they were able to work it out from the meanings, you know, the meanings from the context.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, some American publishers do seem keen to neutralize our language, but I think it's important we hold on to our identity. And I've just been through the beta edit stage for the next book, and the editor wanted to change some of the terminology, but I did sort of. Some of them I hung on to, I think, because I explained what they were. Luckily, Affinity are quite happy with keeping the British spellings, so that's not an issue.
Yeah.
And it may be that possibly with the influx of more British writers making headway in our genre, the American audience was probably getting used to our way of speaking. We have to put up their language idiosyncrasies, don't we?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm with you. I think that when I read books from different sort of countries and cultures, I'm quite happy to read the, you know, the different language colloquialisms and stuff. So yeah, I think the other way around, they, you know, I only get positive feedback, really, sort of saying that they've learnt new words, so that's good.
Yeah, no, that's great. Obviously, we don't live in the dark ages.
So exactly.
Understand, they can look it up.
Yeah. And I know that you read widely and you're keen on a variety of genres, not just lesbian fiction, so you read around history, sci-fi and fantasy. So can you see yourself branching into that in your writing in the future?
I did try sci-fi when I was very much younger, Watchmen and somebody's going to dig it out and publish it when I'm dead. Really
dead. That'd be all right if you sold 1.2 million, wouldn't it, in a week?
Well, of course, yeah.
Be all right with that.
I don't think
it'll happen
with this book.
So may you're going to stick with sort of a book set around where you are? Or is your next book set somewhere different?
The very next one, The Circle Dance, is again set in Hebden Bridge, mainly in Hebden Bridge.
Yeah.
Some of the characters come from Manchester as well. But then the other one I'm working on is set in southern England, you know, a foreign country. deepest Sussex, probably. So
right.
That's different.
Yeah, okay, cool. And you're also a keen golfer and archer, as I said in the intro. So have you got any plans to weave those interests into upcoming books?
Well, so far I haven't really managed to get them into the stories. Although an arc over time, Catherine's parents come into it, and they're both golfers.
Mm-hmm.
And we find out that Catherine can play golf as well, but she obviously doesn't have time these days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm working on a book with a golfer in it, so I might be calling you up for some golfing help, because I like to watch golf, but I'm not, you know, I'm terrible at it, so...
I'm happy to talk about golf. Bored to death, I'm
just... Yeah, I'll be like, explain that again. And you recently attended the Golden Crown Literary, I always have trouble with that word, Association Conference in July, which is the Lesbian Fiction Oscars. So how did you find it, and did you participate? Did you do a reading?
I did a reading, and I participated on two panels, which was super fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it was great. I booked to go on it this time last year, because I saw that Dorothy Allison is going to be the keynote speaker. I don't know if you're familiar with Dorothy's work.
A little, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was just truly amazing every time she spoke. And she was on a reading panel, and I was really pleased I wasn't on that one. And I felt sorry for the other authors who had to read alongside her, you know, because there were five or six of us on a panel at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, read one after the other, because nobody was going to remember what they read or who they were. Bastard Out of Carolina.
Yeah.
She could have read the whole book, you know, but we all just stayed to listen.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have been limited to 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But anyway, another reason for going was to meet up with my publishers face to face, because one of the directors is in New Zealand and the other two are in Texas. So we've only ever Skyped two of them, because we've Skyped conference calls and not actually seen their faces. So that was a good reason to go. And
yeah.
And there were seven other Infinity authors going as well, so got a chance to spend some time with them.
Cool. And, have you got any travel tips for listeners planning a trip to New Orleans, where it was?
Right, well, I think it's a great place. My wife wasn't too keen on me going, because she thought I was going to get murdered, you know, but... it's a very vibrant city, and like all cities, places you just wouldn't go. But we were in a tourist part of town.
Yeah.
Quite safe walking around.
Yeah.
Is it very, very hot?
Good food, though? Good food? That's the main thing I always think when I go travelling.
Very, very nice food, and the people are lovely. And also, they're a bit more liberal in their thinking than probably some of the other southern states, you know, places in that part.
Yeah.
States.
Yeah.
And drinking in the street is fine, which I'm sure you'd approve of.
what have you heard about me, Jen?
Drink with you, just ask for a Coke. Walk around, so that's great.
Sounds good. So let's talk a bit about your writing process. Do you write every day, and do you write in the same place?
Right. I try to write every day, and I feel that I probably write better in the mornings. Just after I get up, have some breakfast, and I carry a notebook around with me, and sometimes I'll write notes from out and about, or waiting for something, or sitting in a cafe. And very occasionally you might want to handwrite something in the evening if I'm suddenly struck a thought.
Do you,
Mostly in the mornings.
Do you write just generally straight onto the computer though?
Yeah, straight onto the computer.
Yeah. It all seems a little bit much to handwrite it for me and then put it in. So, but yeah. Some people do still do that, which always surprises me. Yeah, and obviously you and I are part of the explosion in lesbian fiction that's happened over the last few years. So when did you start reading lesbian fiction?
Probably before you were born. No, about 30 years ago, I guess.
Right, okay.
Before you were born.
I was definitely born, don't worry, I was definitely born. So about 30 years ago. So, and obviously so much more choice these days, which is awesome. And are you still an avid reader of lesbian fiction?
Yes, I am.
That's cool. Because, I mean, some people, when they start writing it, they just stop reading it. But
I like to see what other people are writing and, you know, some great stuff out there. So, yeah, I love it.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I probably read more of it now. But, yeah. And are there any words and phrases that you overuse in your everyday and your writing?
Probably said quite a few of them already. So definitely, it's definitely one of them.
Definitely, you definitely do that, yeah.
Actually, probably then. That one was pointed out to me by one of the editors saying.
Yeah.
Then it cropped up a lot, so I had to go through the manuscript and find all the thens.
Yeah. Find and replace. And I know that Jen Silver isn't your real name, it's a pen name. So was there any reason that you went for a pen name and why Jen Silver?
Right. I think possibly because, when I was talking to Affinity about publicising the book, they said, well, you've really got to be on Facebook. And I thought, well, even though, you know, done online learning classes and so on, I was never that keen on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really want to go on as myself. So I decided on a pen name. And I was trying to think of a name that was similar to my own name, or using my initials and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But it was Anne, my partner, who came up with Jen Silver. She'd gone for a walk and she came back and said, what do you think about Jen Silver? And I said, well, that's great. Yeah, it's an easy name to remember. It's easy to spell when I'm doing signings.
Have you ever done a signing and nearly signed your own name?
So far, that hasn't happened to me.
No.
I think I'm more worried about signing a check or something with the wrong name.
Yeah, that would be odd.
Yeah. So far, but I think at the conference I was called Jen all the time, so that was a bit odd, but I got used to it.
Yeah. And finally, if you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose and why?
Oh, this is a great question. So I had to think about this. I think Virginia Woolf,
mm-hmm.
and Terry Pratchett.
Oh, that's a cool pairing. Why would you choose those two?
I'd leave out the madness and the dementia, hopefully.
Yeah.
But, I think they're both great storytellers observers of human nature, so I admire their writings very much.
You thought it was a great question, I think that's a great answer, so we're equal. And tell us, when can people expect the next book from you?
Okay, the Circle Dance is going through the editing stage at the moment, and it will be due out in February, I'm told.
February. Okay, so not that long to wait. And where can people find out more about you? I know you said you're on Facebook. Do you have a website? You're on Twitter?
Yes, I'm on Twitter as well. And there's information about me on the Affinity website. And I do have my own blog, which is jenjsilver.wordpress.com. So I try and do a blog once a week. I skipped this week because I was in Copenhagen for a few days. So I'll try and get something on this week.
All right. We'll let you off. Did you have a nice time in Copenhagen?
Yeah, it's
great. And your Twitter, is that @ Jen Silver?
Jen J. Silver.
Jen J. Silver. Okay.
That's my middle name.
Yeah, you had to make up a middle name as well. Right. Well, this has been really cool, Jen. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat. And we all look forward to the new book, which is due out in February.
Well, that's great. And I really appreciate you doing this, Claire. And it's been great talking to you.
No, thank you very much. Speak to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you fancy dipping into any of my books, London Calling, This London Love, or The Long Weekend, you can find out more at www.clairelydon.co.uk or just look me up on Amazon, Kobo, iTunes, or any of the other digital outlets. I'm also on Twitter at Claire Lydon, so come on over and follow me there. I'd love a new follower. Thank you very much to Denise at My Lesbian Radio for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And make sure you tune in to the Lesbian Lounge with Denise for all the latest LGBT news, views, interviews and gossip. It's a cracking listen, so do listen in. Join me next time for more hot book club action. See you then.